Well, kind of a light agenda for the first meeting of the year, wasn't it?
Very much so, yep. We were pretty light as far as numbers at the office. So, you know, during Christmas and New Year's, it's just so hard to try to get people in. And we had quite a few items, I think, on the prior meetings. There were a lot of consent agenda items. So we didn't have a lot of things to bring forward specifically. We'll have more stuff coming up here in the next few months.
Oh, yeah. It won't let you
All evens out. It
exactly
does.
Exactly right. You bet. We'll start first. Anything, citizens' comments?
Well, we had a visit from Dawson with the Chamber of Commerce. He wanted to thank the city and the crews that helped put up Santa Claus Lane. You know, as I'd mentioned that this year on Facebook, I noticed more and more people had been Remember When, and they hadn't been mentioning mm-hmm. Santa Claus Lane. So I remember as a kid, that was a big thing to get to go down and look at Santa Claus Lane. So we do appreciate the city. I know I watched them put that up, and they did that amazingly quick. Mm-hmm. So we do thank them for all their efforts in keeping that tradition alive.
All right. Anything else, citizens' comments?
Nope, that was it.
Announcements, recognitions, anything there?
The only thing that we mentioned last night, we've got a Board of Zoning Adjustment meeting this upcoming Thursday, the 7th at 12 p.m., and it's just on a side yard variance request. The Board of Zoning Adjustment usually meets in the fourth Monday of the month, but because of Christmas and New Year's, we just decided to move it to a time that we thought we'd be able to get a quorum. So it's kind of weird doing it at noon, but you know, it's the best that we could do under the circumstances. So,
consent agenda, anything pulled for discussion?
Well, we pulled item B, which was a fund that had been established for Vision McCook. It was a group of citizens that got together from different agencies and was promoting McCook, and the city had contributed to that effort. There was some funds that were left over, I think $1,200, $1,300, and it's been sitting there for quite a while. Our portion was $387.23, something like that. So it took council action to actually join the group. So we thought it'd be great to do a board action or council action to leave the money in that account. And now the MEDC is going to use that for the same purpose. It's just a different agency. So it was really just a technicality, but we want to make sure that we were jumping through the hoops correctly.
And that was on some of the last agenda meeting Andy was going to talk about, wasn't he?
Yep. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Anything else? Nothing else pulled for discussion there?
Nothing else was pulled.
All right. Regular agenda. We'll start for a presentation from City Attorney Nathaniel Mustin regarding LB 424.
Yeah, LB 424 was passed by the legislature this past session. And LB 424 is a bill that allows communities other than Omaha, because Omaha's already been allowed to do this, but it allows communities other than Omaha to go ahead and create land banks. And the land banks require more than one town, so you have to have a consortium, and the land banks have the ability to pool resources together, so each of the towns would contribute, how they'd go about doing it. I know that Nate has a couple of different proposals that he had presented to the council last night, but they combine efforts to try to remediate or remove nuisance abatement properties in their jurisdictions. And so what you look at is, I guess from our perspective, you know, we've got a problem resolution team that was established in 2008, and the problem resolution team tries to work with property owners to make sure that their properties, you know, if they're in bad shape, you know, you've got an abandoned house or a house that is starting to fall apart, that those houses are being repaired, maintained, upkept properly. And we always try our best to work with those people. We're not out there to try to embarrass anybody, but you also got to think about, you know, our responsibilities as a city. If you look at our ordinance and the state statute, you know, we have a responsibility to try to make sure that neighborhoods are clean, that they're in good shape, that you aren't seeing other properties values reduced as a result of people not taking care of their properties. You want to make sure that you're limiting the spread of you know, rodents, disease, those kinds of things. And, of course, appearance matters. I mean, you don't want to live in a town that you've got a bunch of junky houses that are falling apart and in bad bad shape. So our problem resolution team for the past 12 years, we've tried to identify houses and work with property owners. But one of the things that we've come across is it becomes cost prohibitive to try to fix these houses, get people to work on these houses. You know, we don't have funds to do that. You know, and it does go to, you know, the question, do you want to use public funds on a private person's issue? You know, and that sometimes is difficult. We've done a lot of improvements, removals over the years. We'd received a federal grant back in 2009 through the Neighborhood Stabilization Program in the amount of $600,000. So we were able to go ahead and knock out, I think, about 30 to 40 properties, and some big ones at that, the old Romanoff building at the end of Norris, the recycling center over at the intersection of South Street and Highway 83, and then a bunch of residential properties. But it's gotten kind of difficult. You know, we've had some tight budget years. We haven't been able to set aside money. Then when you start talking about demo projects, you know, you're talking probably $12,000 to $15,000. I think the last 2 years we've set aside $25,000 for demo projects, but that doesn't go very far. So what this would propose, you know, this proposal does is it gives some flexibility to the members of this consortium. You know, and when you talk about towns in our area, you know, you may be looking at Indianola, Cambridge, Culbertson, you know, whomever. We haven't spoken with anybody yet. We're just kind of looking into this right now, trying to figure out if this is something that would work for us. But one of the things that you have with a lot of these properties is you have title issues. You have properties that, you know, have tax liens against them. They've got whatever, you know, and so trying to get those cleaned, it's very difficult. The land bank legislation has a provision that automatically allows you to clean those imperfections in a much easier fashion. Now, there are still some requirements. You know, you can't go ahead and just wave a magic wand and get rid of a private tax lien. But as far as public obligations, there are some things that you can do with that to try to go ahead and remove those. And so it makes it easier. One nice thing about the land bank is that you're able to collect 50% of the property taxes over a five-year period to try to recoup some of your money. Also, you know, one of the things that they've talked about, you know, in Omaha is that they renovate or restore some of these houses. And we're talking about houses that are in terrible shape. You know, these are houses that nobody wants. You know, if you go to a tax certificate sale on a nice house, you're going to have a whole bunch of people there. But if you go to a tax certificate sale on some of these abandoned properties, nobody wants a house that's on its last leg and falling apart. In those particular cases, you know, you've got the ability or the authority then to, remove those tax liens, go ahead and proceed to either demoing or, you know, trying to renovate. Probably if it's on its last leg, you're probably getting beyond that point. But then you would have an infill lot that you could build on. And I know that Andy over at the MEDC has talked about trying to do some projects on some infill lots. Maybe that's something that we could do to try to help. Part of the problem with this, you know, from a functional standpoint, this is one of the things that I could see that'd be difficult with it, would be trying to make sure that you make it fair for all the members of the consortium. You know, you'd have to figure out some equitable way to make sure that everybody's getting value out of this. And so that'd be one thing that we'd have to hash out. There are some communities, I know that Nate had mentioned the Loop City area. They've got a consortium that they've started. It's a fairly large area. We're going to talk with them and ask how they went about trying to make sure that their group was equitable. So it's not just the town with the most people, you know, like McCook, that's getting all the benefit. You'd want to make sure that everybody was getting benefit out of this. So it's something we'll continue to look at. I think that it presents opportunities that we haven't had before. It's definitely not going to fix everything. You know, I get phone calls all the time, you know, from people that are complaining about their neighbor's property, saying, hey, are you going to do anything? And it makes it tough. You know, resources are limited and all those things. But this would give us an opportunity. And I think one of the things that Omaha's doing and what other communities have talked about that are looking at implementing this, they've talked about trying to get private investment, you know, whether it's banks or whomever else that might have an interest in this, you know, cleaning up properties, making sure that you've got, you know, some aesthetically pleasing lots as opposed to something that's not very good looking, you know, to try to promote McCook or attract people to McCook. you know, that's something that they might find some value in. So there may be some contributions that they could make to the program. You know, there are ways to try to fund this, I think. You know, and obviously, as the program gets a little bit stronger, if you have enough houses and you're receiving that 50% and then you're renovating or whatever, you're selling off houses or whatever it is that you're doing after you've taken care of the issue, there might be a continuous pot of money there that you could go ahead and draw from. We're just in the initial stages trying to figure out what we want to do and whether anybody would want to do that with us. Everybody on these towns that are a part of this would have a person on the board, you know, so it's required that every community is represented. And then also there would be some other players from the communities that would be involved as well, too, as the ex officio board members. You know, so nobody would get railroaded in the process. Everybody would have a voice. So we'll continue to look at this. I know that we've been trying to figure out for years how to deal with these problems. I mean, how do you deal with an abandoned house, you know, without spending a lot of money, you know, that would be taxpayer dollars that should be going to other things like streets or airports or whatever. And if there's some way that we can kind of eliminate some of the financial burdens, it's not going to eliminate all the burdens. I mean, you're going to have to put money in to begin with. And what that number is, we're not quite sure. But if we can try to figure out some way to make it easier, expedite the process, not have to, you know, spend as much time in court when we're doing these, because a lot of times you get stuck in court trying to process these things through, it would make it much easier for us to try to remedy some of these properties. So Nate's going to go and talk to some of the other communities. I know that he represents a few. I know that he's talked to John Schroeder. John represents a few of the communities in our area. See what their thoughts are and see if we can't maybe move forward in this kind of a group of towns to try to make sure we look as good as we possibly can.
Mayor?
Well, I think although it wasn't an action item, there was no opposition. In fact, there was a lot of encouraging comments about this program. I know Darcy had commented that now that he's out delivering, he gets into neighborhoods, which, you know, when you drive around, you kind of stick in your own neighborhood. But now that he's out and about, he sees that there are some areas that we really need to take care of. So we were excited about it. We definitely want to see the staff and Nathaniel pursue this and see if we can't get something going, because every community has properties that needs to be taken care of. We're no different. And I think if we could do a joint effort, it sounds like a great deal. And I'm sure the details can be worked out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we already have Loop City, their consortium, you know, has already started. So they figured out how, and you had towns of various sizes involved with that. So if they can do it, there's no reason why we can't.
Next up, discussion regarding potentially rescheduling a capital improvement strategic planning meeting.
Well, we're getting pretty good at rescheduling this item. So we actually, at the last council meeting, had kind of decided that we wanted to push for a date in February. So we've picked February 18th, which is a Thursday. We're going to meet at the city auditorium at 7 p.m. We encourage the people to come out. We'd like to hear ideas. You know, everybody's got ideas about what we can do. We've got a budget starting in May. Not that we could fund everything that comes out there, but it's at least the citizens going to come out. And if there's something they've been thinking about, you know, it'd be great to hear their ideas, and then we can put it down and see if we can get some action on this. The 18th is going to be, we need two things, is we need a forecast from you for a nice day. And then, of course, we'll be watching the COVID, whether it spikes or decreases, and that's kind of what threw us into this. We've been at this since, what, November?
Yeah.
So we decided, let's get a date down, let's shoot for it, we can plan for it that way. And then if the COVID is staying under control or somewhat under control and we get a good day, then we can kind of go for that day. So if you got an idea, we're going to encourage you to come out. We will be in the auditorium, so if we have to, we can spread out and get quite a few people in there.
On the 18th, you said?
At 18th, yeah. Gotcha. And we are doing Zoom meetings, and you know, depending on what happens, that's a possibility as well, too. And the problem with Zoom meetings is, you know, it's hard to have, you know, smooth conversation.
Oh, people talking over each other.
Yeah, it's herky-jerky. Yeah. And you know, and also, I think sometimes when you're in those Zoom sessions, you know, you don't – I think that it's easier probably to you know, maybe not allow everybody to go ahead and be a part of the conversation. It seems like there are always people, you know, a few people that just kind of dominate. And mm-hmm. And so I really kind of like the idea of all of us, you know, whoever's interested, getting together. You know, obviously we are, like Mike said, we pay close attention to the numbers. If there was a spike, we would move forward with just a Zoom session meeting. But our preference would be to spread out at the auditorium and make it so, you know, people could come and talk and you know, have a good discussion, you know, regarding what their thoughts are, you know. I'm not trying to knock Zoom, you know, and I'm not trying to knock technology. They're all fine. But when it comes down to it, nothing is more effective, you know, as far as communicating, you know, and forum-wise than having a meeting in person, mm-hmm. you know, where everybody has an opportunity to participate. You can check and see, you know, how people are, you know, you can look at body language. You can right. do those kinds of things. Those are the kinds of things that you don't get when you're doing mm-hmm. Zoom. So, mm-hmm. so I would prefer to go ahead and do it in person.
The 18th, and we'll see how it goes over the next right. week or so.
Yep. That's the plan anyway.
Exactly. We're already to council comments. Anything?
The only thing is I'd asked Kyle yesterday about, my wife and I have been doing a lot of walking lately, and we noticed that some of the stop signs are red and white, and we was wondering what the significance of those were. And basically, I was thinking maybe it was like Christmas, they decorated them for Christmas, but Kyle said that wasn't the case. In the areas where there's a lot of heavy traffic or they really want to see, make sure that sign stands out, they put some reflective red and white on them.
Okay.
And I know, well, I was counting them on the way over here, and it's like I didn't get to ask him yesterday how many stop signs we have in the city of McCook. So I'll have to get back with you.
I bet you him or maybe Tyler or I don't know. I mean, I guarantee you that they could probably give you a pretty close right, approximation right, off the top yeah. of their head.
So if you notice them, that's kind of the deal is that in the areas where there's heavy traffic or there's a lot of congestion, they put those on there so that they're noticed. And we have seen people, especially, I don't know why, J Street and 5th, I've noticed people just drive right through that.
Oh, yeah.
So I noticed there's one there, and that's good that they're taking this step to help with the traffic control.
The old boulevard stops.
Yep.
Just pause and boom. Not even a pause.
Yeah.
It's just a look, and then you just kind of roll right through it. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for council comments for today.
Yeah, that was it.
Very good. Rough guess on stop signs in the town. What do you think?
Oh,
you got
man.
You got me curious.
Oh, man.
Now.
I don't know. I mean, over under, I couldn't tell you exactly. Geez. Then you start talking about out of Walmart and areas like that. Let's say 150. Yeah, I don't know. So
make a contest out of this. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. We could go ahead. It's like how many jelly beans are in the jar. In the jar. Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, I'm sure the guys over at the street shop are thinking, "Jesus,
oh
guys,
man,
he's way off." So yeah.
So next meeting again coming up on the 18th.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes. Sorry. I started thinking about the February 18th meeting. So.
Yep. And again, coming up this Thursday, you have a meeting coming up Thursday, right?
Yeah, meeting on Thursday. And so the meeting on the 18th is Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah. Day. We still have our meetings. We will be open. So, and then there is no Planning Commission meeting on the 11th. I think it's the first time in months we haven't had one. Okay. So there will be nothing next Monday.